my friends. Hi, my name is David. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from control, comedy, and a cold heart.
Hi, David.
Remember, that is how each of you will introduce yourselves when you get to your group, and it feels good, I can tell you, because it just happened to me to be welcomed and greeted in that way. Now, you guys over here, turn around and face me. We're going to be doing a little bit in this room for about 20 minutes, and then we'll spend an hour up in our classroom. So here's what you can expect in here is I'm going to make a few announcements here at the beginning. You're going to get to hear another testimony from someone that is close to your age, from another student that has gone through this curriculum before. Then I'm going to give you a brief just introduction, actually just something to think about and maybe spark your conversation. And then we'll dismiss you to head out to your classrooms for about an hour of just talking through, hey, where you're at in your life, how your week was, more about kind of what you hope to get out of this experience, and then what you read in your bookwork and what you wrote down in your bookwork and what you thought about it and what you felt about it and what you didn't understand about it. You're going to talk about those things with your group. And admittedly, like we know, it can be awkward and uncomfortable in a room full of new people. But just as a reminder, we want to do everything we can, not just as the adult leaders here, but you guys as well, to create an environment that is a safe place for you to talk about anything you need to talk about, to get off your chest, anything you need to get off your chest. And so all of us are going to take responsibility for that. When we go up to our rooms, we're going to create a safe place for one another to talk about what's going on in our lives, and then we're going to encourage each other to take steps forward towards healing. And as a reminder, when we say this introduction, I am recovering from, that is a statement of faith, guys, because you're here again, and you cracked open your books, and you did some, if not all, of the bookwork that was assigned to you this week, and every question you answered, and every scripture you read, and every step you took coming into this room tonight was a step towards healing. You are walking the steps towards healing, and I'm so excited for you that you're here and that you get to experience knowing God better and then experience the work that He wants to do in your life. And there is peace, and there is joy, and there is hope at the end of this road. And you're going to get to hear about that from one of your peers in just a second. A few announcements I want to make sure we're all on the same page. I'll send out an email about this, but just so everybody hears it loud and clear and there's no confusion or conflict with your parents next Monday, we're not meeting next week because it's Labor Day. And we know sometimes on a holiday, your family might have plans to be out of town, or you might have plans to grill out or to have people over. And so because it is Labor Day holiday next week, we will not be meeting next Monday, which means for the next lessons, you actually have extra time to work on it. And let me just encourage you, don't slack off and procrastinate and say, well, I'm not going to think about regeneration for students for 2 weeks. I'll just worry about it the weekend before I have to come back. Work on it little by little and then go back and review and review. These next few lessons are very, very important, and they're foundational. Every single letter of the word healing that we're going to go through, each one builds on the one before. And so you want to build that foundation by actually doing the work. I'm noticing something that I forgot to say at the beginning. Now that we're seated and we're kind of spread out, if you're comfortable and you don't feel like your parents have asked you to keep your mask on the whole time, you're welcome to take your mask off. So no one's going to like correct you and be like, put that mask back on. Same thing applies. We'll put on our masks when we dismiss and walk up the stairs. But once you're seated, if you're spread out enough in your classroom and you're not screaming at each other, you're also welcome. We just want to give you that freedom and permission that, hey, once we're far enough apart, we think, you know, we're comfortable with you doing that if you are. And if you're feel like, man, I've been asked by my parents to keep my mask on, or I'm more comfortable, certainly we would love for you to do that. But I wanted to give everybody that permission if you wanted it. So reminder, if you open up your books, open them up to page one, you should have written in these finish by dates. So because we're not meeting next week, you got to finish all the lessons for Entirely Trust God by 9:21. So next Monday is 9:07. So we're going to discuss Entirely Trust God for 2 weeks. So we're only discussing help this 1 week, and then we're moving on for 2 weeks about entirely trusting God. And entirely trusting God will be the foundation that we really, really need to be laid before we move on to assess the situation. Because I'm just going to preview it for you. When we get to assess the situation, the curriculum and us as leaders, we're going to encourage you and call you and challenge you to dig deep, to go into your heart and into your life, into the way you think, the way you feel about your life. We're going to ask you to look back into your past, to things that have happened to you, to hurts that have been done to you, to harms that you have caused to others, to sins that you have committed, to some of the things that maybe in your head you've thought, no one can ever find out about this. And we're going to challenge you to reevaluate some of those things when you assess the situation and the condition of your life. And without the foundation of entirely trusting God, you will be doing that exercise alone without God at your side. And so we want to spend those 2 weeks helping you understand God's goodness, His love for you, His power that is available to you, and His presence in your life right now and every day. And so you really want to do your work, guys. Don't procrastinate on the entirely trust God lesson. So make sure that you have all of these finish by dates written in those blanks on page one of your curriculum. You can take a picture of the screen. A few of you weren't here last week, so we want to make sure everybody had that. One more announcement before we move on to student testimony. In the back of the room, there are 18 different issue sheets, and those are specific tools for you to take with you that will help you work through many of the issues that maybe brought you here this semester. So there's an issue sheet on dealing with divorce. There's an issue sheet on anxiety. There's an issue sheet on disordered eating. There's one for pornography. There's one for, I'm trying to think what else is over there. There's 18 of them, all right? So everybody take a look at that, okay? We all know that we're all here because we don't think we have it all together. So there's no shame in going over there and looking at the issue sheets because we all know we have issues. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? And otherwise, by the way, we wouldn't be human, right? Every human has issues. And it's the wise humans that face them, confront them, and deal with them. And so you're wise if you go check that out, maybe at the end after you dismiss from your step group, and you can grab 10 of them if you want to, or you can grab one or two. And then as you go through your curriculum and you find breaks, you can review the content that's in those issue sheets. It's really helpful. So I want to make sure you knew about those. All right, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to introduce our student testimony. So would you just open up the evening with me in prayer? Bow your heads. Dear Lord, God and Lord, you're both of those. I thank you. I'm just grateful. My heart is filled with gratitude and anticipation as we really get into this semester. I just thank you for your word and the way that it has introduced me and so many of us to who you are. And it continues to show us day by day as we seek you in your word, show us who you are. And I thank you that it can guide us to understand our need for help and to introduce us to who you are so that we might entirely trust you, so that it can give us the courage to assess the situation of our lives, so it can point us in the right direction to changes that we need to make and relationships that need healing in our lives and new habits that we need to develop to keep us closer and closer to you. And then the privilege and the purpose that you've given each of our lives to go and share in many, many different ways who you are to others. So I pray that you would lead us towards those activities and those truths as we go through this curriculum and as we go through these groups. Would you give each of us courage? Would you give each of us words to share? Help us to be known. Help us to be accepted tonight in these groups. Help us to be encouraged. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I should have encouraged you guys, whenever a student is sharing a story like that, you ought to take notes. Just simple notes. And I just jotted a few things down because it's so good. Bye, girls. Everybody say bye, ladies. Bye. Oh, see ya. Thanks for being here. I just jotted a few things down, and it's good to look at all that God has done. And I just want to start by asking you, before I kind of get into my reminder of the letter H tonight, I want to remind you what you just heard. You just heard from a girl who said, I was a drama maker. And I want to ask you, how many of these things can you relate to? Write them down. There's a notes page in there somewhere around lesson one. And just like put a check mark by the ones you can relate to. A drama maker. I'll wait, you're turning. Somebody yell out the page, the first page that has the notes. What page? 28? Go to page 28. I think, yeah. Drama maker. Is that you? Liar. Is that you? Grief. Okay, so there was loss of a loved one. Anxiety. That's like worry and stress. So you got drama maker, liar, grief, anxiety. Turning away from God. So you notice in her story, very early, she came to know who God was and professed faith in him. But then when things didn't go her way in life, she said there was a season where she just turned completely away from God. I wonder how many people in that room, in this room, can relate to that. Then there was comparison. She talked about comparing herself to others and jealousy of who others were or what they had or what she saw in their life, whether that was the way they looked or who they were spending time with or the material items that they had. And it's incredibly relatable, I know, for me, and I bet for you, to look at this list and be like, wow, a lot of those things describe me. And what's encouraging to me is that Allison does not stay in those things. She's not enslaved by those things any longer. But she's learned a new way of living, to turn herself to God. I heard her talk several times about places that she discovered truth in God's word that was transformative in her life, and then direction, encouragement, and support from God's people. And most importantly, through those things, a personal relationship with God, where she no longer turned from him, but instead turned to him and seeks him every day and relies on him. So I hope you heard all those things in her story. I was encouraged, and I think as you pay attention to these stories you hear week after week, you'll be encouraged and strengthened too. So now I want to tell you another person's story, and I want to put a picture up on the screen. This is a picture of a little girl named Adine, E-D-I-N-E. This isn't a picture from the internet. This isn't a picture from a magazine. This is a picture my friend John Elmore took of a little girl when he was on a mission trip to Haiti. And as you can tell from looking at Adine, she's severely malnourished. She's very thin, and there's kind of like life draining from her face. If you look at her, she looks barely alive. And she was very sick when John came upon her. And I want to tell you a little bit of Adine's story. I want you to follow along. And then I want to point out how all of us can find ourselves in her story. So when John is on this mission trip in Haiti, they get in these big trucks and they drive up this mountain to these villages of people who are completely disconnected from the normal like city and village life in the rest of the country. They're very remote villages. And they had heard that there had been a famine and severe drought, and there was a food shortage. And the people in these villages in these mountains, they didn't have any way of coming down the mountain, and they didn't have any means to purchase anything if they did. And because their crops were failing, their lives were failing, they were so severely malnourished, the word got down that the people, just to feel full, the sense of being full, they were eating mud. And then when you're eating mud just to fill your stomach, a couple things happen. Number one, you're suffering symptoms of malnourishment. Your body's literally eating itself to create energy. But then when you're putting mud in there, you're getting bacterial infections. And in the mud, there's also like worms and like tapeworms that end up getting in your stomach and eating up your organs. So the people were suffering immensely and dying. And so John, my friend, he works here at Watermark actually today. He's not a doctor, but there was a medical team that for situations like this, they have developed this formula. And it's here's a picture of it. John has a bag of this in his office right over there. This peanut butter. And they would bring peanut butter to these villages, and they would teach these people if they would take this peanut butter in 8 small doses a day, so several snacks of peanut butter each day throughout the day for 3 months, so 8 doses a day for 90 days, their malnourishment would be alleviated because they would have the proper nutrients in their system. But also in this peanut butter, there were antibiotics and medicines that would kill the worms that were growing inside of them. So as the worms would feed off of the peanut butter that was put inside it, it would basically poison and kill the worms, but not poison the person. So he had the cure for her ailment and her disease. And so here's what happens. They load up these trucks with doctors and missionaries and peanut butter, and they've got translators because the people in her village don't speak English, and they go up the mountain, and when they get there, they park their vans and they park their trucks, and they get out, and John says, as he tells the story, he immediately noticed 2 things. Number 1, children started running away from them, screaming. And as the children ran away screaming, the adults came towards them with machetes. Machetes are large knives. And so the translators quickly turned to all the people from Watermark and the other missionaries that were there, and they're like, go, get back in the trucks, get back in the vans, we'll talk to the people. So the translators started speaking in their language and talking to them. And here's what they came to realize is the last time this village had seen people that look like many of us with light skin, they were there to attempt to enslave and to exploit the people inappropriately. And so they weren't having any of that anymore. And so anybody that came that was white, they immediately sent away from their village. And they told their children, if you ever see anyone with light skin, they're coming to eat you. Those were the stories they would tell their children, so the children would stay far away and not get kidnapped. And so imagine this situation. Someone with a heart to bring help and healing and life, and the people run away, and the people reject your gift. So here's why I tell you this story. I want you to look at this picture of Aideen, because this picture is me, and this picture is you. All of us, in some different way, and all of our stories are different, but our lives have been malnourished. None of us have received all of the love that we wish to receive. None of us has been perfectly cared for and provided for spiritually or emotionally or relationally throughout our lives. Every one of us has experienced some form of brokenness or suffering, and we're malnourished. And here's the hard truth, is that God has come to us just like John and the missionaries came with this peanut butter. And he's come to us with a solution and with healing, and all of us have run away, and we have sent God away, and we have rejected him out of our lives as if he was somehow at fault for the malnourishment and suffering that we are experiencing. And I think this is a picture of all of us. And that's why the first letter that we're talking about and that you looked at in your curriculum stands for the word help. Because we need to start to do the opposite of what we have been doing. If you want healing, all right, help is at the beginning of the word healing. If you want healing to start in your life for whatever suffering that you have experienced or you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever challenges you're facing, whatever malnourishment you feel, if you want it to begin, it begins with you saying help. And you'll see it written throughout your book. Every time you see the word help, you'll see we are broken and powerless to heal on our own. We admit that we desperately need help. You see, the only thing AD needed in that moment when she saw the peanut butter coming, the only thing she needed to do was to say, help me, can I have it? It was there for her freely. She just had to admit that she needed it instead of running away. And that is the only thing God asks of us to begin our journey towards healing is to raise our hand and say help. And for many of you, just being in this room is an indication that you're ready to do that. But some of you are coerced to be here or you're forced to be here. And you need to make that decision for yourself to raise your hand and say, help. But if you're like me, there's many reasons in my life why I haven't always received the help that God is offering me. So I want to put up some of those reasons. These are reasons why I will stay like Aideen, why I might not say help. Sometimes I tend not to see or refuse to admit my needs. I mean, it's uncomfortable if you're Aideen. If you look like this, it's uncomfortable to look in the mirror. That's not how you want to look. And sometimes I'm just guilty of not confronting and looking in the mirror and seeing my needs. I don't want to look at my needs. And so when I avoid seeing them and I ignore them, I don't say help. Sometimes I have a hard time trusting that God is good. That was Aideen's problem and her village's problem, is they had a hard time trusting that the people that showed up in trucks were there to help them, not to harm them. And some of us, we heard it in Allison's story. There was a moment in her life after she lost someone she cared about that she had a hard time trusting that God is good. And maybe that's where you are today. Many times I think I should be able to handle things on my own. No, we don't need your peanut butter. We're going to solve this bacterial infection and this worm problem on our own. And some of us just think, you know what? I'm this close to figuring out life. I mean, I'm 15 years old. I'm a genius. I should be able to figure this out. And we think we should be able to handle our life on our own. And lastly, this is a sad one, but some of you might think because of the things that you've done or things that you've thought or things that you've said that you don't deserve God's help. And these are barriers that we all need to get past. So if you did your book work, you kind of went through these three things. The first one was just uncovering brokenness, beginning to just write down some things where you've seen brokenness in this world and you've seen brokenness in your own life, in your experiences or in your heart. And then we went into understanding brokenness, like, okay, wait a second. If brokenness is everywhere, like it's all around the world, it's in nature, it's in other people, it's in me, it's in societies, where does this brokenness come from? And these lessons point us towards that. And then we looked at the third lesson was the start of healing. Like if brokenness exists, where does it begin? And it begins in the missionary who came to us with the source of life. And that missionary is God, most specifically in the person of Jesus. And so I want to remind you of one scripture that was in your lessons, and then we'll get to discuss this stuff in our step groups. Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18 says, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help." That's why the first step is just say help. Because the scriptures promise that God hears you when you say it. Some of you in your room tonight, maybe you don't want to shout it because your parents will come running and be like, what's wrong? But maybe just out loud, you need to, in prayer, look up at the ceiling or out the window to the sky or close your eyes and just say, help. Believing that the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. And that this promise is true, that he rescues them from some of their troubles. That's not what it says. He rescues them from all of their troubles. That the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So guys, you've heard from Allison, you've heard from me. If you don't hear anything else tonight, I want you to hear the words of this scripture. And hear that there's a God who is close, who hears you, who will rescue you, and who loves you. So don't click to the next slide yet, guys. But Aideen's story wasn't over. After they were rejected and they left the village, before he left, he snapped that picture of Aideen and he committed to praying for her. And they went to other places on their trip and they delivered the peanut butter to other people that were taking it. And they gave them instructions, hey, 3 months, eight times a day. And then another group will come back later and check on you and they'll report and they'll keep records and all this stuff. But the whole while, Aideen had captured John's heart and he continued to pray for her. And thankfully, before they left, a messenger came from that village and told the translators, hey, we changed our mind. We heard what you said to us, and we will try the peanut butter. So John was able to go back, And he was able to build a relationship with the translators, and they were able to give Aideen's family all the peanut butter for her to take 8 doses a day for 3 months. And he asked the translator, promise me, when you go back with another group in 3 months, take another picture of Aideen, give me an update, tell me that she has survived and that she's all right. Now look at this picture. This is Aideen. 3 months later, she's a fat baby. The peanut butter worked. And all she had to do, and all her family had to do, was decide to admit their desperate need for help and receive the free gift that was being offered to them. And this could be you. Like I said earlier, the first picture was me, and the first picture in many ways was you and all of us. But the second picture could be us too. At the end of this 3 months that we're about to go to, our hearts could be healthier than they ever have been before. And the last thing I want to say on this is that some of you may be skeptical when I say this. And some of our skepticism comes from a place of, I don't buy it, David, because I've been to church before. I've been around Christianity before. I've tried the whole God thing. I've even said help out loud in my room. And here is the challenge I have for you who feel like you've tried God and he hasn't worked. I've said it over and over again. Can anyone tell me how many doses a day and for how long did Aideen have to take the peanut butter? Anybody remember? 8 times for 90 days. So here's what I want to ask you if you're saying I've tried it and it hasn't worked. Have you cried out to God? Have you opened his word and just read one verse 8 times a day for 90 days? It's not a magic formula. There's not like, the Bible doesn't say, and I can't tell you, if you read one verse a day for 8 times a day for 90 days, your whole life will change. But I can tell you this. If you do that, if you read the Bible 8 times a day, if you pray 8 times a day for 90 days straight, something's going to change in your life. And it's going to be different than the last time you tried it. So until you have tried the same prescription that changed Aideen's life, don't tell me that you've tried God and it hasn't worked. Have you trusted him for 3 months? And we've given you, now like I've set you up, there's God's word all through this book, and it's available to you every day for the next 90 days that you're in this program. Open this book every day and just look at one page. Pray one time. It'll take you like a couple minutes. Just don't look at TikTok for 2 minutes. You can do it. Look at God's word 8 times a day. Start with 4 times a day if you can't do 8 times a day. It transformed her life physically. Maybe it can transform yours spiritually. Let me pray and we'll get you out to your groups. Lord, I pray that each of us would turn to you and we would receive the free gift that you're offering to us. Would you protect us from the lie that we have to do this 8 times a day ritual or something to please you? Help us to know the truth that you're our Father and you created us and we are pleasing to you because we're your children. But you see the pain that we're in and the suffering that we're experiencing and you long to help us and you're offering us something free, not something we have to earn, but something we simply have to receive and allow it to transform our lives. So I pray that every heart in this room would be stirred to cry out to you, help, and that we would cry out, help, every single day for the rest of our lives. Would you make these conversations great in these step groups? In Jesus' name, amen.